And again, continuing on in our study of the Lord's Supper, and looking forward to that Sunday evening coming, and encourage each one of you to, as the Lord caused you to take a look at the Scriptures, and that, to come and partake of that. That's what the Lord wants us to do, is for the purpose of remembering Him, His death for us, and that great sacrifice that He made for us, for we that He saved. To remember that, to enjoy the fellowship of it, as we saw Sunday in our study in 1 Corinthians 10, leading into 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we thought it appropriate and prudent that we take a look at that chapter. Again, in that chapter, for those of you that weren't here and have heard that part of the study, in chapter 10, all of Israel were there in that departure from Egypt, and all of them heard the word of the Lord. They all ate of that same spiritual meat, chapter 10, verse 3. They all drank of that spiritual drink. That was Christ. That rock was Christ. They were overthrown in the wilderness because of sin and what they desired, rather than the things that the Lord would have them desired. And they became idolaters, many did, and the Lord was not pleased with them. Many became fornicators, many tempted Christ, many murmured against the Lord and His man. And it says in verse 11, these things happen for our examples, upon whom the ends of the world are come. It's for us to learn from their experience, lest we be tempted to go after those things. It's written in verse 11, chapter 10, verse 11, for our admonition, that are right down here at the end of the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And so it goes on, and then it tells us about temptation, and we've looked at that. We've had messages on temptation and the temptation, the way of escape that the Lord has made in obedience. And it speaks to us in verse 15, verse 16. He says in verse 15, I'm speaking to wise men. Judge what I'm saying. Figure it out. Understand it. The cup of blessing, verse 16 of chapter 10, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, that fellowship that we have in Christ, that unity that we have been made, has been made in Christ, and that we've been put together in His body? The bread which we break, is it not the communion, or that same word, fellowship, that we have in the body of Christ? We being many are one bread and one body, because we're all partakers of it. And it goes on to take a look at Israel. And take a look at Israel and the sacrifices there and how it is that Israel's sacrifices were either eaten by the priest and that provision that the Lord made for the priests and the Levites, or it was burned up and consumed as an offering to the Lord. The Lord tells us that we need to be a complete partaker of Christ. As it is in the Lord's Supper, He says, eat ye all of it. We need to fully partake of Christ. And listen, if we're not obeying, we're not fully taking part of Christ. If we're not finding that place in the church that the Lord's made for us, we're not fully partaking of Christ. If we're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, we're not fully partaking of Christ. And we need to take heed to that. Verse 17, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. In John chapter 6, the Lord said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And He's not talking about transubstantiation. He's not talking about the bread and the wine being made the actual body of Christ, where Christ would be crucified again. But He's talking about what the Lord has done for us spiritually in the giving of His body and the shedding of His blood. We show what He has done. We remember His death till He comes back. And so He goes on. He talks about Israel. He talks about the Gentiles. And what is it with the Gentiles? They offer a sacrifice. They sacrifice it to devils. They sacrifice it to pagan gods. And what do? They let it roast on the altar a little bit. And in verse number 25, whatsoever is sold in the shambles, and the apostles dealing with Corinth and a problem that they have with the actual sacrifices there in Corinth, that city in Greece, where that church is there in Corinth, where the apostle Paul spent 18 months preaching the gospel of God, and Jews and Gentiles no doubt were saved, as being, as we understand, more so a Gentile church. They take their sacrifice and they sell it down at the shambles. They let it get a little bit roasted, but they don't burn it too much, because they have their way, not God's way. And he comes on in here to chapter number 11. And he starts off this chapter in verse number 1, "Be ye followers of me," the apostle says, "even as I also am of Christ." And that can be so in regards to the pastor. That can be so in regards to church members. That can be in regards to those that have been saved for years in the Lord's church. He says, as Christ is being followed, follow me. But if we're not following Christ, if we don't have Bible to back up our path, our way, the will and the Word of God, beware. Beware. The Lord says, follow my man as he follows me. Follow the Lord, looking to him, not the ways of the world, not the politics of the world, but follow the Lord. Follow him and find it out. Listen, you won't find it out by coming to, what, 4 services a week? You'll hear some of it, but you've got to be in that book yourself. You've got to be reading that book yourself. You've got to have a study going on. You've got to have questions out of the Word of God so that you can know how it is you can follow Christ. We stand before the Lord in it. And there's no excuse before the Lord and not. Be ye followers of me, even as also I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. He's going to qualify, he's going to set this here. He's going to speak about the headship of Christ. He mentions this, that it is, who was that spiritual rock? Listen, who was that spiritual rock that the children of Israel drank of, ate of, heard about, were submersed in Moses' ministry, that there for 40 years, it was all about Jesus. It was all about Jesus. And he says, it is in Christ, it is in Jesus. He's the one, he's the head of the church. He is the head of the church. Not me, not you, but Christ. Christ is the head of the church, and we are his servants. In regards to pastor, I'm the under-shepherd. The Lord is that great shepherd of the sheep. But having the order that the Lord has ordained, that there should be a pastor there. There should be a pastor there. And he needs to be following the Lord. And the people need to be following the Lord and not following after the ways of men. And he goes on here, and we're familiar with this. Even taught it in Sunday school here a while back about this token of headship that is given to the women, that they can make a statement, they can make a testimony in the amongst the assembly of the Lord, amongst the church, about this headship of Christ, them being submitted and enjoying that submission of the headship of Christ, the headship of their husbands, the headship of the Lord in the church. And so we're not going to take time to take a look at that, but it is there. And then in verse number 17, our focus is the Lord's Supper. He starts and prefaces this chapter about Christ is it. Christ is who we need to be putting first. Christ is who each and every one of us, as saved and members of His church, need to be putting first. Not ourselves, but Christ. Christ, His will, His way, His word, His doctrine. That's what we're to be putting first. And then he comes down to verse number 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. So that's the preface. What I'm going to talk to you about now, I'm not praising you. I'm not commending you, church at Corinth, members of the church at Corinth. I'm not praising you because here, that you come together not for the better, but you're coming together for the worse. What's it go on to say? For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. He says, I'm not going to praise you in a thing. I'm condemning you in a thing. And listen up. Listen up to what I have to say. When you come together, you're not coming together for the better, but you're coming together for the worse. Why? Because I hear this. He says, in verse 18 there at the end, hear that there be divisions among you, and I'm partly believing it from what I'm hearing. I'm beginning to believe that there are divisions amongst you. I'm beginning to believe that there is schism amongst you. The word is coming from here, and the word is coming from here, and it's sounding like that is it is indeed the case. And it's not a good thing that it be that way. That there's division, that there's a rent, that there's dissension among you. We're made one body, he tells us, and he goes on to talk about it more in chapter 12. One body, fitly joined together by the Lord. And each part is to be nurturing one another as the Lord has ordained. He says when you come together in the church, he's not talking about the building. He's talking about the people. The body of Christ, whether they meet out in a field, meet up somewhere at somebody's house for the purpose and the defining of the church to have worship and service to the Lord, or meet in the church house, wherever it be, when you're meeting together, there's divisions, there's schism amongst you. And listen to what he says in verse 19. For there must be also heresies among you. Heretical teaching, teaching contrary to the Word of God, teaching contrary to the doctrine and the Word of Jesus, teaching that is against God and against God's way and will and Word. It said if there's division, there's heresies. Mark it down. It's that way. You can't have it both ways. And listen, here's the way it's going on. And he's going to go on and tell it in this verse. If there's a division, you got at least two parties. Maybe you have more. And the circumstance is going to be either one's wrong or the other's wrong or both are wrong. Somebody's right, somebody's not, or both are not. That's the way it's going to be. And he's admonishing the church, you need to find out from the Lord where it's at, because this division is against God. For there must also be heresies. There's sects, these disagreement about doctrine. There's this incoming of other doctrine into the church causing these divisions. Take a look over in chapter 12, verse 25. The Lord has put His body together and put the members into it. It says in Acts that the Lord saved and added to the church those daily such as should be saved. He builds His church, not us. He builds His church. He brings the people. He brings conviction. He brings salvation. Sinners repent, believe, and trust in Jesus Christ. The Lord saves their soul. He works in them with that visitation of the Holy Spirit of God. And He brings us together, not for a fuss and for a fight, not for a schism. Chapter 12, verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body. God has fitly joined the body together. He's put us together in Him. Be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That's the design. That's the way. And if we be found, if any one of us be found contrary to it, this chapter 11 goes on and tells us about that condemnation. For there must also be heresies among you. Listen to what it says in Titus chapter 3. Take a look over here. Titus chapter 3, verse number 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain, they're empty. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. If it doesn't line up with the Lord's doctrine, if it doesn't line up with the apostles' doctrine, it is sin against God. And it will cause a division. It will cause a division. A schism. A schism in the body, a schism in the assembly. We saw in Galatians 5 Sunday that if we don't watch about biting and devouring one another, we will be consumed one of another. It's the way that it'll work. And the warning is to this church at Corinth also. Look over here in this church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's take a walk through here as the apostle speaks to them, as the Lord speaks to them about their situation. And we know the things that are there and the things that the apostle is dealing with, the Lord visiting them by His man writing to them. In chapter 1, verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, chapter 1, verse 10, 1 Corinthians. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. The word of God, what God has said, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The Lord's. Not what I think, but what God says. Not what I prefer, but what God says. What the Lord says in His Word. May we back it up. In chapter 3, verse 3, take a look at what it says. Chapter 3, verse number 3. Here's another condemning thing that he says unto them, verse number 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as to the spiritual. Why? They're babes in Christ. They've not grown. They've not fed on the Word of God. They take the Word of God and make it into what they think. They make their own doctrine. But as unto carnal, worldly, even as to babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are now ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Not after the Lord, but walk as men. Walk as the way of the world. In Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse number 17. Here, again, he said in that last passage that we read, I beseech you, here in Romans 16, 17, he also begs them, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but serve what? Their own belly, what they want, what their desire is, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, that which is righteous, and simple concerning evil. Amen. Strife, division, that which is contrary to the Lord. Look in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 12. Proverbs 6, verse number 12. A naughty person and a wicked man walketh with a froward mouth, saying those things that he ought not. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. The Lord will say, it's too late. It's too late. It's over with this way and this wickedness. Listen to what the Lord says. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief to carry it out, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That the Lord hates those things. That seventh one, that discord amongst the church, amongst the brethren, amongst even Israel in the day that the Solomon wrote that, God calls it an abomination to be sowing discord, to be following after heresy, to be following after the wrong way. In James chapter 3, look at what James says, and he speaks to us so clearly about the problem that all of us are subject to and all of us that we have, and where things are mainly manifested as it is with us, or can be such a problem to us. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. A leader that leads, one that says and sets them up as a leader, one that says their call of God to be a leader, one that says that the Lord has touched them to be such, understand that the judgment is greater. The condemnation will be greater if they go wrong, if they follow the wrong way. Because why? Because they themselves, being in a leadership position, are leading people. If they lead them according to false doctrine in a false way, they lead many in a wrong way. They bring others with them. They bring others that don't know with them in a wrong and an evil, wicked way. That's the reason we must beware who it is that we follow. We must beware. For many things, verse number 2, we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and also able to bridle the whole body. If you can control your mouth, your tongue, you can take care of the rest. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body by that bit. Behold, also ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue, being one of the smallest members of our body, can set on fire the course of hell. Isn't that what it says? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. We that have been saved, our soul has been saved, but our mind and our body has not. And that warfare and that wrestling that we should have, that as Brother Philip said, that Jacob and Esau wrestling that ought to be going on inside of us, if we feed the old man, he's going to come out and he's going to be shooting off his mouth and he's going to be doing and saying things that ought not be. But if we feed the new man, Then, as David said, "Oh, purge me, Lord. Cleanse me." He desires the good thing of God. He desires to put sin out of his life. He doesn't justify his sin, but he says, "Against you have I sinned, and you only. And I want rid of it. And I want a good and right way." Because then, he says, "Then I'll be able to be a witness to others. I'll be able to be a help to sinners. I'll be able to be a help to those that are in the same place that I was." And how will it be? By the conversation. By the thinking, the uttering, the doing, according to the Word of God. Verse 7, "For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and of the things in the sea is tamed, and hath not been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and there we curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God." And God knows it and watches it. The Lord knows it and watches it when we do so. That same member, praising God and blessing God, but cursing yet another. It's wickedness, and God knows, and God will reckon it. "Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing." Do you cuss? Child of God, do you cuss and swear and take God's name in vain? It ought not be. Our tongue should not be like the tongue of the world. "Yeah, but I've got workers that are just don't listen." You cuss and swear at them and carry on to drive them, to make them do. It's wickedness. It's evil. Right. Well, things just get so bad. Things just get so tough that I just can't help myself. God says we can help ourselves if we'll avail ourselves to the Spirit. If we'll have a desire that'll be right. And gossip, backbiting, slander, such as that. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. Listen, folks, it's not a thing of playing. It's for real. And God's plumb serious about it. "Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing," verse 10. "My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No way, no how. If the sweet spring is a sweet spring, it puts out sweet water. If the sulfur spring puts out sulfur water, it puts out sulfur water, and you can't expect to get anything else out of it. It's just that way. And the Lord sees it. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh. It just doesn't work that way. Same way with people and their tongue. Folks and their tongue. And the people of God need to show and make a difference. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, jealousy, it can be such that folks don't agree, they have a way that they want, and if they don't get such a way, they want to tear down what is held to by others. They want to tear down that which is righteous, not content just to go on their way, but will want to just take it and have that bitter envying, bitter strife. And where does it start? In the heart. Glory not and lie not against the truth. Because see, that's what the Lord wants, is the truth. He always wants the truth. The truth. What's the Lord say? What's the Lord say in John chapter 8? He says, you shall know the truth, and it's going to hold you captive. No. It has set you free. The truth of God will set us free. And you know what the truth of God will do? It'll step on our heart. It'll step on our shins. It'll step on our knees. It'll step on our legs. It'll step on our back. It'll step on our head. And I pray to God it'll step on our heart. But that's what we need. If there's going to be fellowship with the Lord, if there's going to be fellowship one with another, if there's going to be a unity in the Lord's church, it's going to have to be according to sincerity and truth. God's truth. The Lord's truth. Lie not against the truth. Verse 15. This wisdom that's pertained and or that's held to by those James is speaking of, it descendeth not from above, but listen, it is earthly, it is sensual, it is devilish, it is demonic. May God help us to see it. May the Lord God Almighty help us to see that speaking in a way that's not according to the word of the Lord, not according to God, not according to a way, any time that we, that may God help us to see that we should never speak in a way that we would not speak if the Lord was bodily here. You hear that? If Jesus Christ was standing here, we would all watch our mouths. All of us. Well, the thing is, He is. He is here. As we preached the last two Sunday mornings, if you're saved, if you and I are saved, He's with us all the time. He knows it before it comes out of the mouth. He knows it when it's up here. He knows it when it's up here. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish, demon-like. That word devilish means. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Strife will take away from the work of God. Strife will take away from the work of the church. Envying, bitter envying and jealousy and such as that will take away from the work of God. It always will. It'll delay the work of the Lord. It'll delay the efforts for the work of the Lord. And that's the reason there's confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And then it's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It won't flare up and get angry. It won't fly off the handle and get mad. It won't be vengeful. It'll be according to the love that the apostle's going to go on and speak to them about in chapter 13. Amen? Amen. That's right. And in 1 Corinthians 13. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. The fruit of the Spirit is being mentioned here, folks. Then it's peaceable, it's gentle, easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, not being a respecter of persons, but holding to what God says, and what the Lord puts out there and ordains that we should live by, and then the best that we can, let us adhere to it. Yeah, but you know how the world is today. No, No, not sucker in and give in to the way of the world, but desiring as best and as close as we can to follow after the Lord, not how far we can get away from Jesus, not farther, my God, to thee, but nearer, my God, to thee. So goes the song. The wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Peace. Not a false peace by placating sin and letting things slide by that the Lord says are evil and wicked and sinful, but standing in the truth of God's Word, trying to be a good witness of those things that are right and pure and just according to the Word of the Lord, and standing in those things, and if there is an offense because of what God says, then as the Lord said to Moses, He said, they don't quarrel with you, they're quarreling with me. They're quarreling with my word and way. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says there's these heresies. There's these heresies. In verse number 19, and what's it say? For there must also be heresies if there's divisions among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. That word approved means tried. James starts off the book that he writes, the Lord's half-brother, pastor of the first church at Jerusalem, that church that the Lord instituted and during the day of his ministry. He says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Because on the other side of that temptation, on the other side of that trial, if you find that way of escape, if you find that way of faithfulness and obedience to the Lord, there's going to be a blessing. Oh, yeah, it may take your skin and it may take your life and it may just chew you up and spit you out. But, oh, your reward with God is going to be great. I've been thinking about a brother that it's told went out witnessing, went out visiting. And the man that he was talking to in the threshold of his door, the door of his house, took and spit in his face. Now, in my flesh, that makes me want to do this. But the testimony and witness of the brother is he wept. And he told the man, thank you. You don't know what you have done for me. You don't know how in doing what you have done, what you have done for me and the reward that you have given to me. Isn't that a testimony? Isn't that a testimony? He says, I'm coming to you with the truth of God's Word. I'm coming to you with the truth of the Gospel, and you reject it. And I pity you. I pity you. In that you fight against God this way. And even though you malign, what is it that the Lord said in the Gospels? He said, when they despitefully use you and abuse you, and then they separate you from their company, leap for joy. Get excited, because great is your reward in heaven. Oh, your reward is wonderful in heaven. It is great in heaven because you have suffered for the Word of God. You've suffered in standing for the truth. You've been faithful. What is it? Revelation chapter 2. Revelation, this is a promise to people in every one of the Lord's churches. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1, of the angel of the church at Ephesus write. Verse number 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Chapter 8, verse number 8, rather, unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write. Church in Smyrna. He goes on down here. In verse number 17, to him that overcometh, in verse number 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knowing, saving he which receiveth it. Verse number 18. The angel of the church in Thyatira write. He goes on down here. He talks about the sin that is there and that threatening that they have. Verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers, even as I have received of my Father. Chapter 3, verse 1, number 1, unto the angel of the church of Sardis write. And he goes on and speaks to them about the things that they have. And he says in verse number 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse number 7 of chapter 3, the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy and he that is true. He goes on here in verse number 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And in verse number 14, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. He goes on and speaks to them, I know thy works in verse 15. You're lukewarm. I'm going to spew you out, verse 16. You say you're rich. You say you got plenty of stuff. You don't have need of anything. But you don't know you're wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. You're naked before God, and it's a shame unto you. I counsel you to buy these things. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He stands at the door and knocks, verse 20, and wants fellowship. And he'll come in and he'll sup, verse 21, to him that overcometh, even in the church of Laodicea, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and have sat down with my Father in his throne. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 19. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved, tried. Yeah, go through temptation. Go through a trial. Have it before them that they need, must endure, that they overcome in the Lord. May the Lord help us to hear it. May the Lord help us to hear it. So first, he speaks to them of divisions because of heresies. And then he speaks about this despising. Verse 20. When you are come together, therefore, into one place, you're not coming together. This is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. These heresies, this division, this way of seeking your own way, you've not followed after the way that's been ordained. You followed after a wicked way. You followed after a heretical way. You followed after a devilish way. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Eat your supper at home. Eat your meal for the sustenance of your body at home. Don't come under the pretense of observing the Lord's Supper, where we are ordained to the Lord to remember His death till He come. Don't do that for the nourishment of your body. Don't do it in your own way that you have chosen. Do it in the way that the Lord has ordained. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise, you contemn, or think little, disdain, or think little or nothing of the church of God? This is manifested in a spirit where one would say, as long as I like the way the church is going, that's a good with me. But if I don't like it, they can do what they want to. They can pursue whatever they want to. Listen, as the Lord's people and the Lord's church, that should not be our attitude. Amen. It should be an attitude that we are to submit to the Lord's church. We are to submit to to that which is right and wholesome in doctrine. We are to submit to His way and will in it. That Holy Spirit there, that comforter work of the Holy Spirit, is to be moving in amongst each and every member, that we might discern the truth of God's Word, not public opinion or the philosophy of the world. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise, contemn the church of God, ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? There's those that can't come and have a feast like you do, and you shame them. You despise them in this way that you're doing. What shall I say? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. I praise you not. I praise you not for the divisions and the heresies. I praise you not for this despising and shaming of the church and this improper way of taking the supper. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner, also He took the cup. And when He had supped, He said, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. You do show that fellowship in chapter 10, verses number 16. You show that fellowship that is mentioned there. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion, the fellowship of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break in chapter 10, verse 16? Is it not the communion, the fellowship of the body of Christ? In verse number 20, it goes on and he says, in talking about the way of the Gentiles and the devilish worship that they ensue. But I say that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship, root word of the words communion. Root word, the words communion in verse number 16 are taken from that same word fellowship with devils in verse number 20. We are not the fellowship with that which is against God. We are not the fellowship with that which is the evil. We are the fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is where our fellowship is, and the simplicity that is in Christ. To you that are here tonight not saved, this hasn't really been a message to you per se. In it, you see the fellowship that's there, or you hear of it. But listen, you don't have any fellowship with the Lord. If you're without Jesus Christ, if you have not repented and trusted in Jesus Christ, He, having saved your soul, you are far from God. You are lost, you are dead in trespasses and sins. You stand before the Lord as guilty, whether you admit it or not. You stand before Him condemned already, it tells us in John chapter 3. You don't have to wait for the judgment. That condemnation rests squarely upon you for your sin, for your depravity, for your very heart that is against God, enmity against God, the Scripture says. The only hope for you is in this one that we've preached about, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, that came down and became a man so that sinners like you and me can be saved. Repent of your sins. Admit to God that you're guilty. Repentance, the Lord says, he that hideth his sins will not prosper, but he that confesseth them shall find mercy, will have mercy. And that's what we preach to you and point you to, the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation